Welcome to the Whole Life Podcast with Deanna Marie. I'm a holistic life coach obsessed with all the things to help make your life complete. This podcast will give you actionable tools to help you feel your feelings and start living your life from radical self-love. Hello, beautiful friends. Welcome back to my podcast. Today, I have a lovely conversation with my friend Rachel talking about human design and the impact that it has made in our lives, and specifically about parenting. We talk about our course that we are starting called Parenting by Design. It's a 4-week course where we will be exploring our individual human design and also the designs of our children. And this is going to open up so much compassion for yourself, for your child, and seeing the places where there's similarities and where there's differences, and how we complement each other on this earth as humans, uniquely designed humans. And it is our intention in creating this course that we can really help you step into more confidence and a fresh perspective of what it means to be a parent and to help our children grow. And I say a course, but this is really a coaching container as well. We will be teaching and we will also be coaching you on things that you would like to be coached on with these difficult, sometimes dynamics with our children that come up. So here is the episode. Okay. Here we are recording with Rachel, my dear friend.
And here we are.
We are going to be talking about human design, what it is, and our experiences with human design, and also about our course that we are going to be doing next month. So, as a way of introduction, Rachel, if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and also what your introduction into human design, what that was like for you, how you... Well, let's start with what human design is first. Let's just do that.
Oh, yes. Please. Yeah. Please do.
So, human design is a... It's based on 6 different things. It's based on astrology. It is based on the Chinese I Ching, the Tree of Life, Kabbalah, and the chakra system. Chakra system. I'm saying that wrong. I'm very sorry.
At least
sorry.
You corrected yourself.
Very sorry. quantum physics, and is there anything else? Or maybe it's, am I forgetting something?
I'm sure there's another thing.
Okay.
But I don't know what it is, so...
Okay. Well, what I like about it is that it is a technology based on a lot of different things, and so I feel like it's very holistic. It's looking at different ancient technologies and combining all of those into something instead of just looking at one thing. And that's what I really like about it. Is there anything else you want to say?
I really love that you can remember all of that and share it in a list format. No, I love the idea of looking at human design as the energetic blueprint, like the map that expresses a world of possibilities. And there's so much flexibility within that, map that says how it can be expressed. And I think it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like a artwork created by the universe being expressed through the filter of the human body. That's how it feels to me.
Beautiful. I love that you said, yeah, it's that it's an energetic blueprint. I think that's
that's really important. So let's go into, so, okay, so it's a system and it, you know, it's your energetic blueprint. Like, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
And so how has it made a difference? Like, what does it mean to you? Finding.
Well, it has given me a lens through which to view myself and those around me with grace and with truth. So it feels like an invitation to, looking at a chart feels like an invitation to look at the truth of the how the energy can be expressed, and everything comes with the potential to be balanced and also the potential to be imbalanced. So you have the light expression and the heavier expression of each of your placements. But when you're willing to look through this lens at yourself and tell the truth about what you're seeing, it opens the doorway to a lot of, well, for me, self-acceptance and self-love that I had never had access to before.
Yeah.
And without that access, I wasn't willing to see more truth about myself. It was only whenever I could see and feel love for myself at the same time that I could let more light in to shine on my shadow so that I could own it.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been like the biggest permission slip for me to just be who I am and to accept and love that instead of fighting against my own wiring and my own design. Like, I would have this internal dialogue of like, oh, why am I so this way? Or like, why does this, you know, keep coming up? And so when I learned about human design for me, I was like, oh, this makes sense. And it was like this permission slip to be who I authentically was instead of fighting against it.
Mm-hmm. Instead of pretending to be something other than what you are. Pretending that things are easy when they're not.
Right. Yeah. And especially, I know this is just audio, not video, but if you're looking at your chart and you have these nine centers, the ones that are open tend to be the places where you're more susceptible to malleability. Mm-hmm. And I've always considered myself, you know, like, why am I so sensitive? Mm-hmm. And so looking at this was also my chart, like, wow, I really am sensitive because I'm so open.
I'm allowed to be sensitive.
Yeah, and I'm allowed to. And that's a beautiful thing. This is exactly how I am designed. Not to say that, you know, it's always easy to accept that, but it was just, and also like, this isn't just in my head either. Like, oh, I think I'm sensitive. Like, oh, I'm sensitive. Mm-hmm. I can see it in my chart.
Yes, and I'm not the only one who sees it. I'm looking through the lens of this system, and it's also validating my experience.
Yeah.
So big. And what I thought of when you said it felt like the biggest permission slip, it made me smile inside to remember how much judgment I used to have for that. If something was a permission slip, was like, oh, well, then you're doing it wrong. Mm. You're taking a shortcut. Like, the amount of judgment that I had was so high. And I perceived it to be cheating somehow. Like, if you're not suffering, if you're not working against what your impulses are, you know, if you were programmed to believe that you were inherently wrong, bad, broken, unworthy, then there was built into that belief a natural distrust in self.
Yes.
And so if you subscribe to that, which if you're raised in it and you don't subscribe, that's a miracle. And I want to see your chart.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry that I just got distracted on that.
No,
I love that you said the permission slip, because I recognize that was something I used to have so much resistance to. What would it even mean to give myself permission to just be authentic and not pretend that things are easy when they aren't, mm-hmm. or pretend to know what I don't know? You know, any of the shadows of the open centers where you've received conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like what you said about, like, you get to let it be easy when you're in flow and you're in alignment with who you're designed to be. There is that flow, and it gets to be easy. And that, yeah, if you've been taught that, like, you know, no pain, no gain,
right.
It has to be hard. You have to inherently have a struggle. Then when it's easy, like you're saying, like it can feel like, wait, this is easy or simple. But that's the beautiful thing, is that in some areas of your life, it just gets to be that way.
It can be. If you can give yourself permission to let it be easy instead of creating resistance through having an attachment to a story that you're supposed to be anything else other than what you are.
Mm. Yeah. That feels like a big sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm. You can feel it in your body.
That you just, yeah, get to be exactly who you are. And yeah, that has been what I've loved about human design, is learning that and getting to experience that. So do you have any specific examples of how that has... knowing this information, experiencing this with human design, how that has been impactful in your life?
Mm-hmm. Let's see, which one? Which one to pick? Probably the one I don't have to reach for very far. I would say learning that I am a manifester and not a generator. Felt like such deep validation that it could make me cry right now, just thinking about it still. Giving myself permission to not live in a mode of response. It sounds like the easy way out for everyone. Like, who wouldn't want to be told that they don't have to wait to respond? But actually, it comes with also a weight of responsibility that I am meant to initiate.
Yes.
And if you don't have practice doing that, that's actually terrifying in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that connecting with the way a manifestor functions in alignment with their strategy has been probably the biggest piece for me.
Yeah, that's a big piece.
Can I ask about yours?
Yeah. Like
what you would say your answer is to that question?
I don't know if I... Not one specific thing is coming to mind. There's like so many things. I'm like, okay... I can definitely relate to what you just said about not being a generator as a projector,
mm-hmm.
that I don't have to, it's like, oh, why doesn't my energy just, you know,
naturally respond,
naturally like recycle every day. And I'm just, I have this, you know, this literal generator generating energy within me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling that. But just little things. I think when I first heard about human design, it was just so many little things that I was like, Oh, yes. Like learning that I was a line four, for example, like that I'm the networker, that I'm, connections, like friendships have always meant so much to me, like so important. And like my place in that and knowing my close, intimate network. And so learning that, I was like, yes, that makes total sense. This is how I am. And okay. And then also, like, I've always wanted to, like, I've definitely picked like different careers for my life, but one of them is that I always wanted to be like a tour guide or just like some type of a guide. And so learning that the projector is the guide, I'm like, oh yes.
Yes, sharing what they see.
That makes perfect sense to me. And learning that I need to be invited, because I love to be invited. I love when people notice and see me deeply and then invite me to use my gifts. That just lights me up in a way that I can't even explain. That's like the biggest turn on for me is somebody to see, hey, I noticed that you do this thing really well, and I would love for you to do that for these people. I'm like,
Ding, ding, ding,
ah,
ding. Right.
thank you. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for noticing that about me and inviting me to step into my greatness. Because without an invitation, it feels like I'm forcing myself into places that doesn't feel safe or I'm not wanted. And because I've done that, I've definitely done that, and it's not easy. There's not the flow.
Right. That's what exactly how it feels to be not in alignment.
Yeah. And so just learning all those things, like you're a projector, you sh should be invited, you have this line four, you're a natural networker and connector. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, yes. And then also my authority, with my splenic authority, I've always felt this innate internal compass of like, yes, I know exactly what is right for me, and I know what is wrong for me. And when I learned about the spleen and the authority, like, oh, I have definitely experienced that in my life, in moments where some people be like, oh, if you want to think about it for a while, and I'm like, well, I can think about it. My answer is going to be the same. Because, yeah, I knew when things were, because exactly when I learned about human design too, my splenic hit was like, you need to learn about this and you need to do this for your clients. Like right when I learned about it.
You
And I
knew
was
right
like,
away it was a tool
yeah,
for
I'm
you.
like, oh yes, and then again with the line one, I'm diving deep into this. I'm going to research this, as line one is the researcher. And that also made a lot of sense. So much about my chart just resonated so deeply with me that I was like, this feels like home, like truth. It feels like truth to me.
And can I ask, what is the first thing that comes to mind as evidence of how human design has supported you as a mother in your relationships with your children, or first your relationship with motherhood?
It helped elevate my role as a mother, as seeing like, oh, I'm a guide. I'm a guide for these children as a projector. And I don't like, I'm not here to necessarily mold them into something that I think they should be. Like, because that was the first thing I did, of course, was look up, all four of my children, all of their charts, to learn about them and just how unique and different they are. And it felt affirming to me, like, I'm just a guide here for my children, and I am here to help them step into their greatness, whatever that looks like, and it's going to be different for each of them. And I'm not here to force some type of way that they should be. And I'm just going to guide them.
Like, did it feel like permission to not be the author of their stories, their life?
Yeah, they're their own. And I mean, I knew that before, but it was just, you know, extra permission. Extra confirmation of like...
Okay.
And again, as a projector, as a guide, like, oh, and I know how to naturally do that. I know how to naturally guide people back into their greatness. And so it was like, oh, motherhood is hard. Parenting is hard, which it is. But but when I could see it through the lens of I'm just here as their guide and I'm a good guide. Oh, that feels so much easier.
Yes, I can trust my impulse to guide.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you've also had some healing work around authority and the authority that you are as a projector in your own life?
Yeah.
And the shape, the size and shape of the authority that you are meant to be for them. Not as the author of their lives, but like you said, a guide, like helping them to exercise these muscles, like whether they're a manifester, generator, projector, or reflector, helping them understand, here's some tools that can help you, and you don't even have to be very specific about why it works that way, but oh, maybe if you invited your friend to XYZ instead of just telling them what to do, you all might have a better play date. Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It helped me also, and I don't know if this answers your question, so I have to say, but this is just,
that's fine. Just
this came to my mind, but again, with my splenic authority, like, oh, I can trust my own natural mothering instincts to do things. If, you know, if I'm like, I just don't feel very good about this. Like, okay, well, then we're not doing that. We're not doing that thing.
Right. That's a big deal. Sometimes mom doesn't have to explain.
Yeah. And that's hard for people that that want logical explanations. And so, again, this is the beauty of, like, okay, I need to honor myself
and first.
Yes. First, and also honor where other people are and let them, you know, be, and like, okay, I get that about you, that you need this logical explanation. And I am not always able to give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
I just have this deep inner knowing and I can explain it to you.
This time. Maybe next time.
Yeah. And letting them sit in that discomfort of like, oh, I really am demanding this, and being like, I'm sorry, I can't give that to you. And I know that's uncomfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And you might need to just sit in that discomfort, because that's not something I can give you is a logical explanation.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that leads into parenting by design. It has to start, or it gets to start, with us honoring ourselves first so that we are in alignment, so that we can help our children know how to honor themselves, because we lead by example first.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how it feels to hope, a pattern of codependency, hope that by honoring the other that they will honor you in return.
Right.
But we have to start with ourselves. We get to.
Yeah.
We want it to work. Right?
Yeah, well, having just got back from Europe and having sat on, I've lost track, but probably 10 flights.
What a blur.
And hearing that from the flight attendants in the event of emergency,
right,
please put on your safety mask first before assisting others. And it's just such like that is like the most beautiful truth that these flight attendants are saying. But it's like, yes, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first before you can help others, before you can help your children. Your oxygen mask needs to be put on first. So
excellent. I love it.
Yeah, that's very fresh in my mind. So, well, what about you? Can I ask that question about specifically with motherhood, parenting, and how it has, how knowing your children's charts, knowing their design, knowing your own design, how that has helped you navigate motherhood.
Mm-hmm. In what way has it created more ease? Well, I would start with, I really appreciated the validation that it gave when I could see the charts of my two sons and see evidence as to why certain things were easier for each of them in life as they move through the world, and then easier for me to handle in my relationship with them, you know? And validation for what was going well, and explanation for things that weren't going so smoothly.
Right.
You know, and then to have such specific ideas around, oh, they're feeling like, I can see clues when I look at both of our charts. I see clues that indicate where the tension might be coming from, and in what way can I honor their energy,
mm-hmm,
without self-betrayal. But there's a lot of leeway there. There's a lot of room for creative thinking. Like, how can I honor both of us? And that feels like a place that has inspired more curiosity in me than I've actually ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that question that you just posed. How can I honor both of us? That seems like just such a paramount question when it comes to relationships, and when you look at how we're designed differently, like, how can we both honor each other and what's most important to us?
Right. And asking the question, what do I desire and what do I require? They're not always the same.
Right.
And asking the same of the other. What do you desire and what do you require?
Okay.
And oftentimes, you know, a child may not be at a place yet where they can tell the difference between their desires and their actual needs, but we can do a pretty good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my answer.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there anything else you want to say before we get into a little mini reading?
Mm-hmm.
So our audience can kind of hear what it's like if you haven't experienced a human design reading, what it is.
Well, I just love that we have these similarities between us, you and I, but we also have enough differences to make what we are bringing to the table, to each other and to others, extraordinary, if I'm allowed to say that.
Of course.
Because you have such a gift for seeing the details and sharing them in a structured way. And I'm more apt to feel patterns or energies that are arising from the chart that I'm looking at. So I would just say one of the things that I'd like to point out before we really talk about your chart is that I would love for all parents to know their children's design and their own, because again, yourself, you have to handle and love yourself first before you can do that with another. But it's such an invaluable tool. And one of the things, or several of the things that I have used when looking at my children's charts, are looking at their environment and their cognition, determination, motivation. They're all variables, but they are represented by the arrows at the top of your chart. And those specifically have been so helpful for me with my children to know how to better support what they require so that they're operating at their best.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is a part, the variables, that I am not very knowledgeable. And so I love that that is one of the many things that you're bringing to the table with this course that we're doing, Parenting by Design, is like I am learning alongside with everyone else.
Right.
With this that you're talking about, because the things I've learned about my children with their charts, I haven't dug deep into their variables, just other parts. And so this is something I am like so excited to learn from you about.
Me too. The great part is it's so fun to me. So
even better, even better.
Okay. So what would you like to, is there anything specific about your chart that you think would be valuable to shine a light on?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I would just like to, I'll just start then.
Okay, just start.
So I see that when I look at your chart, that I'm looking at this nine-centered being. That's what the human design chart is. And I see that your ego, your will center, is completely open without definition. And so is your solar plexus, the emotional center. And I'm curious about what your experience has looked like of feeling the conditioning that you have received and what your deconditioning process has looked like. You don't have to answer that whole question, just any pieces of it that stand out to you.
This was one part that was tricky, because when I was first learning about this and learning about emotional authority versus not having emotional authority, I thought that I was going to be an emotional authority before I saw it, because I feel so emotional. And I learned about the emotional waves, and I was like, yeah, I'm riding emotional waves. All day, every day. But then I was like, oh. And I did. Are you familiar with, what's her name? The inner voice.
Abraham Hicks?
No. She's a, gosh, I can't remember her name now. But she does inner voice, like, facilitating trainings. And I did an inner voice session with somebody that trained from her. And now I can't even remember her name. Anyways.
Okay. So
this is really helpful.
Fun. We don't need to be telling them the names of the people.
Yeah, that's okay. But the question that this woman asked me in the inner voice training or session was, when you're by yourself, are you a calm lake or are you a tumultuous ocean? And that like brought me to tears when my inner voice said, a calm lake. And I was
That's
like,
who you
that's
are.
who I am.
Wow.
I am the calm lake, but I am mirroring everyone else's chaos around me, which is why I feel so activated. But really, on my own, I'm a calm lake.
In the silence.
Yes. And that was really helpful. And that actually helped me make the shift of like, I'm riding other people's emotional waves that are in my home. And even in my upbringing, growing up,
Yes.
and I'm still kind of carrying that high energetic electric charge, but it's not mine. And that deconditioning process, to go back to your question, has been
Yes.
learning to say, is this my emotion to carry? Is it my emotion to solve? And when I can gently give it back, like, this is yours. And also with nervous system regulation, that like, because it would feel very unsettling and unsafe, that oh no, if this person is having an emotional reaction, I'm unsafe.
Yes.
I'm not okay. And so I have to try to make it okay somehow so that I will be safe.
Yes. Would you say there was an assumption of responsibility?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have
Like you
to.
just assumed and believed it is your responsibility when someone around you is having an emotion. So if
Yes.
it's uncomfortable for you better solve
Yes.
it.
Like, I have to help this person calm down, or I have to help this person, do this. And when I was able, and I'm obviously still in this experiment, I'm still in it, not
Yes.
a pro, not an expert, but giving myself permission to gently give it back, and that I don't have to solve this emotion for them. I don't have to deal with it. I can simply let them ride their own emotional wave, and I am just going to be my calm lake over here, and I don't have to get stirred up by them.
What a big practice.
Has been, yeah, a difficult practice, but it has been helpful. That has been probably the most helpful thing of, okay, I am not an emotional being on my own, and then I don't have to solve it for other people, for my children, for my husband, for I can just give it back to them.
So, would you say that learning about human design and beginning your experiment of playing with living out your design, which just means honoring yourself, has included reparenting yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. A lot of reparenting. And this is why, like, parenting has been so triggering for me, is, oh, there's that inner child within me that needs to be reparenting. And these children are showing me, even in their
Yes.
ages, the age that they were. That they are is the age that I was when I was struggling with this thing. And so it's helped me to have compassion for myself and also for them, and to reparent myself and give that little girl what she needed that didn't,
She didn't know to ask for.
yeah, didn't
She
have.
wasn't invited to ask for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's really beautiful. Well, I feel like circling back to strategy because I know we're not really teaching right now, but it feels important to at least explain what strategy is in human design. Would you like to do that?
Why don't you do it?
Okay.
Why don't you do that?
Okay. So the strategy of the projector is to wait for the invitation. The strategy of the generator is to respond. The strategy of the manifester is to inform in order to initiate and impact. And the strategy of the reflector
is to wait a lunar cycle. Yes?
Yes. I love how we look at each other with question marks on our foreheads. Like, I'm right, correct? This is correct? Yes. If we have a reflector in our course, I will be delighted to have the opportunity to really deep dive because I haven't run a chart for a reflector ever. Have you?
I have. I have done two or three.
Okay.
And well, it
you're
has,
3 times more experienced than I am.
It has been really cool because, yeah, it's like so unique.
Yes. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything you'd like to add to that? The strategy.
You didn't do manifest and manifest. The strategy of a manifesting generator is kind of a hybrid of both, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the.
How would you describe it?
That their strategy is to respond and also to inform.
Both. Mm-hmm. Yes. Double the responsibility.
Yeah.
And double the possibilities. I think that's how it feels with manifesting generators.
Yeah. Yeah. And one other thing too is that when we're teaching this, it's important for me to point out that this is not a dogmatic system.
Right.
Because you can get yourself into a lot of trouble if you're like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I love that human design looks at astrology because in astrology, my sign, my sun sign is Aries, and Aries are initiators.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning about, okay, my strategy is to wait for an invitation, but I'm also still an initiator sometimes mm-hmm. too.
Right.
And so to be able to hold both of those and say, yes, I do want to wait for an invitation and I do love the feeling of being invited. Uh-huh. But when I know my spleen will tell me, like, this is something
initiate.
You need to initiate. Mm. And so I can do both. And so I feel like when I explain that to, you know, my clients, when I'm doing the reading for them, I also look at, you know, their sun sign, their rising sign.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really feel like you want to initiate and you're not a manifester, like, check in with your authority and
yes.
go ahead and do it if it feels good to you.
Right.
It feels right to you.
Right. Well, did you mention the word dogmatic? I feel
yes.
like I heard that
yeah.
in there somewhere. I'm so glad you mentioned it because one of the things that I have loved so much while experimenting with human design is not giving my power away
mm-hmm.
to any of the specifics, any of the things, and getting in touch with my own authority. And the more you practice your strategy, and not practice like hours at the piano when you have no desire to make music, but practice like, this is my life, and how can I play with these ideas in a way that give me my power back?
So beautiful.
Give me my power back and enable me to take responsibility in a new way. Or it might be an old way, a way of taking responsibility that you have felt at times, but not all the time. And just getting in touch with that, this is what it looks like to be in your power. So take responsibility for what is yours. And I still really like the idea of playing with the experiment instead of looking at it as write me a prescription
right
and tell me what I need
mm-hmm.
because that's not what this is.
Yeah,
this is you being informed of possibilities so that you can play with like what are the nutritious needs that I have for movement or for human connection or for being seen, for retreating, whatever they are.
Because when you give your power away and be like, oh, well, this is who I guess I'm supposed to be because this is my what my human design chart has said, or then you fall into that trap of giving, like you said, your power away. And that is not, I feel like that's the opposite of what it's
It's the
supposed, the
opposite.
exact opposite of
It's
what
the
it's supposed to
opposite
do.
of what it has potential to be. And the truth is, if we are really determined to give our power away, we're gonna find a way. Whether it's, maybe I won't go into specific examples of how
Oh, you
we
can.
give. Well, I was gonna say in the realm of health, the medical field or religion, like whatever it is, if you are insisting that the final answer is outside of you, then you are promising that you don't get to have access to your power. No, thank you.
No, thank you. Okay. Anything else that you want to say about the chart before we move on to yours?
I will probably think of something after we move on.
Okay.
Just a warning.
That's okay too.
Okay, good.
Okay. So we're gonna shift to yours now for a little bit, and if I can find it, I probably should have had it pulled up earlier. There it is.
There I
Okay,
am.
so you are a splenic, you are a 4-6 splenic manifester.
Yes.
And I love that we share the line four because we are collaborating together to teach this
Yes.
class. And the line four, I feel, is all about really honoring collaboration and connections with others. And so,
May I interject?
please.
About the line four?
Yes.
I think it's so fascinating that when I learned about the four in my profile, I felt immediately validated for the shame that I used to feel for having such a strong desire to connect. Like, why is it that I don't seem able to be an island and be happy and feel good? What is that about? And so, learning about the fourth line and what it, like, the opportunity and also the difficulty that shows up as a line four, has helped me address codependent patterns and also honor, at the same time, honor the beauty of what it looks like to be a person who is so impacted by their network. Because anything that I learn, I have such a strong desire to share with my network. And you understand?
Can you speak a little bit more to, you said kind of, I don't remember the word you used, but like the difficulties of the line four, and then you mentioned kind of the codependency, if you wanna,
Elaborate?
yeah.
Let's see. Okay, one thing that stands out to me is that I've noticed for myself, and maybe you can share if this has been your experience also as a line four, but I've noticed that the things that have had the most profound, lasting impact on my life have come through deep connections with people.
Yes.
Human design, for instance, was shared with me by my partner 3 years ago, and then by one of my closest friends. She went to a weekend retreat where everyone learned about their design, and she came home just lit up and on fire. And she's a projector, so she has that like focus, that heightened focus, so her vision narrowed, and she just started consuming this information, and she was willing and really not just willing, but compelled to share it with me. And so it became such a big part of our relationship and our language. You know, we were using the language of human design and just playing with it and learning from it as we were experimenting with it side by side.
That's beautiful.
And that's just human design, but job opportunities, all kinds of experiences like have definitely been introduced to me or happened because of my relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience with being the line six. So, the line six is the influencer,
Or the role
or the
model,
role model.
depending on who's.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of both, and like, yeah, overlap with that. But the first, so, and what I like about the line six is that it, again, it's pulling in more of astrology in, and it's kind of based on your Saturn return.
Right.
And so before your Saturn return, you're more, the line six acts like a line three, where you're more really hands-on DIYing, making a ton of mistakes to learn,
Experimenting,
to experiment.
learning by trial and error.
Yeah. And then after your Saturn return, you go up on the roof, as it is called, and you're really immersed deeply in your own inner work. And you are teaching people as a role model, as an influencer, of all of the mistakes and the
You
experiences
laugh, but no, for
that you have
sure.
made in the first half, the first 30-ish years of your life.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, you've experienced your Saturn, so that's kind of where you are right now,
On the
is
roof,
up
they
on the
say,
roof, as they say.
integrating what has been learned. Well, something I can say about my experience as a sixth line. Who, as you said, is the third line for the first 30 years until the Saturn return? Is that I think looking on from the outside, one might say that I seemed like a bold person who was uninhibited. So, like experimenting, trial and error, yes. But I feel like there was a lot of suppression, which I'll just call it self-suppression because, you know, the idea is that the parents did it or the religion did it, but it was only in subscribing to a story that I unconsciously agreed to suppress whatever, my own experience, my own thoughts, my own feelings. So I think that a lot of what I was experiencing in my first 30 years was pretty limited by what I thought I was supposed to be doing and how I thought I was supposed to be showing up.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So in a way, I feel like since my Saturn return, I've had some catch up to do. Like almost like double time. Experimenting and also integrating life lessons, because
at the same time.
At the same time. And yes, so I guess that would be my answer.
Okay. And something else that I just thought of that I want to mention here is, again, with like stepping away from dogma, like, oh, this is the way that your life is going to be. And kind of what you just said is like, yes, I was a line three during, before my Saturn return, but like I have this other experience that limited me. And so that's another beautiful thing we can pull in, because there's neurodivergence, there's trauma that also colors all of this.
Absolutely.
So when you're learning about this and you're like, that doesn't really resonate for me, it, like, that's okay.
There's so many factors in our human experience.
Right. Like, it could be because you had this other, you know, experience that kind of shaded that a different color, and and that's okay, and
absolutely
that's what we're accepting as we go along. And again, like, well, it doesn't fit this box, so it doesn't make sense, so I'm just, none of this, you know, makes sense, and it's not true or something. So I mean, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you probably aren't going to be thinking that, but but again, another invitation.
But I would point out that if that's what you see when you're being introduced to your chart, it may be that that's the way you're looking at your world.
That's a good point.
And so that sounds like a very convenient accusation to make, doesn't it? No, but just thinking of it as something that you hold loosely.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, that's it.
Again, not giving your power to this picture of someone else's interpretation of your genetic blueprint, but seeing it as a list of possibilities as to how your energy is being expressed, and just seeing it as an invitation to play with this thing and see if you start to experience, as a manifestor, if I start experiencing more peace than anger, then I would say that's a win.
Yeah.
And when my strategy as a manifestor is to inform, and I notice that informing my children of what is coming, what I'm thinking of, what I'm considering, what we'll be doing, keeping them informed is necessary to keep peace.
Yes.
And not avoid all disruption, but just make peace more accessible more of the time.
Oh, like that.
Because we want to be realistic.
Right. Right.
All right. Now, I have another question. What area, what thing, what juicy tidbit have you learned and been empowered by in this experiment of living your design that showed you something that you were doing as a parent that was not in alignment? An opportunity for, like, the maximum expansion, if you will.
One thing that I was trying to put myself in a box was that, you know, I should be able to enjoy all of my children at the same time.
All the time.
All the time.
No breaks.
But especially like all at the same time. Like,
oh,
this family time with all six of us, and I don't.
I see.
And learning that, I don't know what part of, maybe you can help me, but mm-hmm. I think it's what aspect of my chart. I think it was that just that I'm a projector and I'm better able to guide one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me permission, like, oh, I'm just going to, and I mean, and I was doing this before I learned about human design, but once I learned it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep doing this. I would just take one child on a date and just have one-on-one time with each child. Mm. And that was so different. I felt like I, you know, my penetrating aura could just go and I could really see them deeply and we could have such a good time. And it would remind me how much I actually do love being a mother and having these children. But I forget that when they're all four tornadoing around me,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it really difficult. And so I gave myself permission to, and exactly this as well of like, we just got back from Europe and we only took one child with us.
How dare you?
It wasn't a family vacation with all six of us. It was just me and my husband and one of our children. And that works so beautifully for us.
Yeah.
And giving myself permission to do that and not be like, I have to take all of my kids.
Yeah.
Or that I have to, you know, we have to do something all together. Like, I do want to spend time with them each individually, one-on-one. And I take turns taking them on individual dates. And that, I think, has been really just, again, another permission slip. Like, yeah, this is how your design is to just guide people one-on-one. And you can do that with parenting.
Mm.
And you don't have to take every... I mean, obviously, realistically, like, you do have to take everyone sometimes.
Yes.
And that's right? Not going to
happen. We all sleep in the same house at night, so sometimes you're just all going to be together.
Right. But, like, the big things, like, going on, you know, a trip to Europe or something, like, we can just take one. And, again, like, I hear some of the cynics in the back, like, oh, well, that's just so much privilege that you would have, you know,
sure,
other people sure. to watch your kids. And it is. And
it is. And thank you, Grandma.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
If you happen to have privilege in one or many areas, you just say thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that, like, my oldest daughter is really mature and she's the oldest and she's, you know, she's able to watch some of the younger ones. And has, you know, when we've done things. And so, again, like, that has been helpful. But I'm using those things to my advantage and working with that, working with what I have mm-hmm. so that it is most supportive to me.
Beautiful. Well, and it sounds like you're, in this way, reparenting yourself by offering your children an invitation,
mm-hmm.
treating them the way
yes.
you like to be treated and would have liked to be treated as a child,
yeah.
to receive invitations, bids to connect deeply with your parents.
Oh, yes.
What a beautiful gift to be able to give that to your children. And in so doing, you're showing up in the way that you shine with the most ease,
mm-hmm.
right? Without self-betrayal, and you're paying focused attention to them. I think that's just so beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been, you know, because I have judged myself and compared myself, especially when, you know, people post things on social media that's like, oh, you only have, like, you know, 18 summers or something with your kids. And I'm like,
your brain's like, that seems like a lot of summers.
That's some very maybe too much. You know what I mean? Yeah. But just like, yeah, and that's great for them. Mm-hmm. My situation is different. I'm designed differently, and I just want to spend time with them one-on-one when I can. Yes. And that I operate better that way.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And then you're giving them the gift of finding a way to creatively give yourself what you require. And that's modeling to them, you don't need to do things the way everyone else is doing them.
Yeah.
When you grow up or right now in your life, find a way to, or ask me to collaborate with you on how we can find ways to honor what you desire and what you require.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
To be in alignment with yourself. No, I don't say that mouthful to my child, 7-year-old. But it's in the back, right? In the subconscious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just when you were saying that, it just, I'm like, oh, I do, I hope, right? I hope that I'm, by living what in alignment with what feels good to me, that I can give them permission to do the same for them. Like, hey, mothering, parenting for you is going to look differently, and you have to do what feels best for you. And there's no one right prescriptive model or formula to follow, because that's just going to set them up too for failure when they're like, actually, this formula doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm. My mom said, this is the only way to do it. No, thankfully not.
Yeah. So what about you? Your turn now.
Okay. My turn. I would say that becoming aware, like bringing awareness to the emotional signature of the manifestor, which is peace and anger, gave me permission to be honest about when I felt anger, which I had such high judgment of experiencing the emotion of anger and also the expression of anger, because I was so impacted by the times in my childhood when I felt that I was receiving the anger of someone around me, especially an adult. It left such a mark. So my goal when I became a parent was to not be angry. I mean, it wasn't the only goal, but it was really high on the list. Just never be angry. And the problem with that is when you're suppressing any emotion but anger, you're cutting yourself off from some of your power.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I started to give myself permission to feel anger and express it, obviously in safe ways at appropriate times, but not always. Not always in perfectly appropriate ways.
Right.
Are we
right.
having to express anger? But giving myself permission to do that actually put me back in touch with my own power, so that when I was experiencing peace, it wasn't a feigned peace. Like, oh, look how smooth everything goes when I don't speak my truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not peace.
No.
That's avoidance.
That's, yeah.
And many other dysfunctional things.
Right.
So, for instance, my oldest son, it wasn't until fairly recently that he had ever heard me say, I am feeling angry and I need a minute.
Yeah.
That was very foreign.
I think that is such a good way to model just emotions to kids, is just naming, like, oh, okay, mom is feeling this way, and it's apparently it's okay to have the emotion of anger. Like, again, like you said, there's appropriate ways to express it and inappropriate ways, but being able to see that all emotions are okay.
And they aren't who we are.
Yeah. It's an experience that you're having.
An experience that we're having. That's right.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. Let's go into our course. It is called Parenting by Design, and it will be a 4-week course. We will meet once a week on Zoom for 90 minutes, an hour and a half, and we will take turns teaching the topic, and then we open it up to people coming on to be coached, where you can get specific guidance from each of us on being able to see you deeply.
Yes.
And help guide you through a situation, the tension that you're feeling with a child. And all the calls will be recorded, so if you cannot make it, then you can watch the recording and you can submit some questions beforehand. We would like everybody to have their own chart pulled up and all the charts of your children as well before we start the course, and just have that so we can...
I was just going to interject. Thank you. We can give more information in the Q&A as far as suggestions of where to get the charts and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. We're going to have a Q&A call next week. So for those of you listening, you can check out The Soulful Woman on Instagram, and I will have that information about when that Q&A call will be.
Perfect.
Or you can also, do you want to give your information that they can message you? Or...
I have an account on Instagram called All About Alignment with Rachel Roberts Wallace, and you may find me, but you will see very little because I have not been posting. Okay. But it is there. Okay. So feel free to reach out. Send a message.
Okay. So yeah, either The Soulful Woman on Instagram, or you say that again?
All About Alignment.
All About Alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And can I give them a homework?
Please.
Suggestion?
Yes.
So before you have your chart in hand, you can do this. The question is, what areas have you experienced tension in your relationship with your child?
Yeah,
it's pretty broad.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to make it more specific, feel free to add something.
Oh, I think,
but I think that whether you know and understand how to look at the chart, if you can just come with just investing a few minutes in expressing the tension that you felt and what you would like to see shift. Mm. Like, I would like less arguing. As you keel over with exhaustion, you know, it might seem really simple, but it will help to just talk about it a little bit. What is the tension that you're experiencing, and what would you like to experience more of?
Yeah.
Yeah. In your relationship with your child. And, you know, this is so informative, and we are gearing it towards parents. But this is available in all relationships. Once you learn about this lens, you'll likely not be able to help but use it, you know, whether it's with looking at potential business partners or romantic partner, or, you know, looking at your spouse, your parents.
Yeah. You know, friends, coworkers. Friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in each of the 4 classes, we will go over like what we were talking about, the profile lines, strategy and authority, the different energy types. What else did I miss?
And variables.
And variables, thank you. Yes.
Which are represented by four arrows at the top of your chart.
Yeah. The cost for the class is $222, 222. And again, we'll give that info that you can pay that via Venmo to either of us. And you can, we'll just kind of, you can go on. If you're so curious now that you want, you know, you're like, I have to know what my human design type is. There are a few websites you can go to. One that I use is mybodygraph.com. You will need your date of birth. You will also need your time of birth. And then also the city and state that you were born in. So I love that you don't have to answer like, you know, a huge personality questions like,
oh my goodness,
Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram, which I like both of those, mm-hmm, and find value in them. Mm-hmm. But what I like about human design over the personality test is that sometimes whenever I answer the questions, I'm like, well, it depends.
Well, it depends.
It depends on who I'm with that day, or is it summer or is it winter? Because I have a different outlook on life in the winter than I do in the summer, and different things like that, where it's, yes, made it very difficult for me to answer those questions. And what I love about this is that you don't have to answer any questions. You just put in your birth info and there it is. And
it's, and we would so love simple to help you interpret it for, yes, yourself.
Yes, because it is kind of overwhelming. You'll pull it up and you'll be like, I don't know what any of this means, but you can take note of your questions and we will answer those in the class.
I'm so excited.
I am so excited too. It's going to be amazing. So, okay. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
Are you on Instagram? Come follow me at thesoulfulwoman_ for some more goodness, and you can also subscribe to my email list. There's a link in my profile for that. See you soon!